Hello and welcome to the Create the Love podcast. My name is Mark Groves and I am obsessed with wanting to understand human behavior and more specifically, how to create epic romantic relationships. And it is my purpose on this planet to bring relationship education to everybody, regardless of where they live and also what relationship circumstances they come from. And this podcast is dedicated to disseminating that information to you right into your ears, with each episode being an espresso shot of relationship knowledge that you can apply to your life right away. I want to learn how to love better. I want to learn how to relate better. And what I love about your ability to put into words that experience so that people can understand it on a level. Cause I think it's one thing to like read a book or read a study or something like that, but it's a different thing to put it into everyday language that allows, you know, us to take attachment theory, for example, and actually adapt it to our lives so that we can change, so that the theory doesn't live independently of our experience. And so can you share, just when I talk about attachment theory, what that might mean? And then we can get into how it can really help people understand relating on a different level.
Absolutely. So for me, I came across attachment theory when I was in grad school for psychology. And I was immediately drawn to this map, to this framework that was originated by John Bowlby, and then later Mary Ainsworth came on board. And it essentially is highlighting the bond between the initial caregiver of a child and the child itself, and the bond that's created with them, and how that can become mirrored in adult relationships. And it blew my mind because it's something that happens so organically in those first few years and plays such a huge role in the way that we trust other people, how vulnerable we can be, how we repair, how much self-awareness we have, how we navigate conflict. And for me, I think it was such a beautiful map that really was very empowering to help us understand what was getting in the way of all of those things, right? So until we have that self-awareness, it really becomes challenging to engage in intimate relationships in an open-hearted, mutual way. And that's one of the things that I really love about the attachment framework. I will probably dive into what each one of them specifically are in this episode. So just to name what the different attachment styles are, we have secure attachment, anxious attachment, dismissive avoidant attachment, and fearful avoidant attachment. And each of these operates really differently. Secure attachment is about having a consistent bond with the caregiver. I'm giving the really speedy version of this, but there's definitely way more. The anxious attachment is having a caregiver that was present sometimes really well, not present sometimes. So there's like this inconsistency that creates this tremendous anxiety for a child of not knowing, is love and connection and warmth coming back? Dismissive avoidant attachment is about having a caregiver who was a lot more left brain, more oriented around tasks, not really spending time engaging with the child in an emotional capacity. So there's a lot more of that auto-regulation, relying on oneself and being really self-sufficient. And fearful avoidant attachment is one of the more recent attachment styles that was put on the map, which really identifies someone that experienced a caregiver that had more abusive tendencies or really frightening behaviors, which creates this disconnect for the child in that, wait a minute, sometimes I feel really attached, but sometimes you're like, you're terrifying. So I feel this constant push-pull confusion within myself whenever I'm in an intimate relationship with someone. I so want closeness. I so want intimacy, but I feel terrified and completely overwhelmed when I start to feel close and dependent on someone. And I found that when I work with a lot of trauma survivors, kids that have families that have gone through genocide, Holocaust, immigration challenges, there's a lot of that fearful avoidant tendencies within the family system. And again, this is why it's so important to be mindful of other contexts so that we can bring empathy and compassion and not get stuck on blaming the parents, blaming the caregivers, when there were so many other factors that could have played a role into creating a very chaotic and disruptive system for a child. Avoidance patterns are absolutely terrifying to work with. And so I'm really grateful that you are acknowledging that and sharing that. I've oscillated between both anxious and avoided. I, actually resonate the most with fearful attachment, which has both tendencies. You know, it's not so important to get fixated on which style it is. It's important to just recognize the behavioral pattern. Is it relational anxiety where I'm afraid of connection, losing connection, or is it relational avoidance where I'm afraid of getting overwhelmed by connection? Instead of, you know, we can get really fixated on trying to, I'm this attachment, I'm this. And that I rarely find that rigidity ever helpful. So, you know, paying attention to what are the behavioral patterns that come up for you? Where do you feel challenged? Do you tend to be more intrusive during conflict? Do you tend to be more, you know, do you tend to shut down? And starting to recognize what those patterns are so that you can make repairs more quickly as well. Because that's one of the biggest tools for relationships in using attachment theory to help make those repairs happen much more quickly. And so that we don't get defensive when someone says, hey, you're being a little bit pushy. You know, I want to connect with you, but chill out, you know, let's plan a date. Let's do this thing, you know, back off a little bit. I'm with you. I want the same thing, but this approach is not feeling good. And instead of getting defensive and, you know, falling into a ball of shame, we can say, oh yeah, I'm doing that thing. I know. And like really being lighter with ourselves about it. That's my hope when I work with couples, because it's so possible to get there. It takes some time to get there, but it's so possible to get there.
And it's so healing. It's like both people experience a whole other level of relationship. Even if we're single and we're dating and we start to date with this awareness, we're all of a sudden like, wait, I'm now over pursuing, or I'm now pulling away. And we're cognizant of, is this my attachment style in action, or is this actually unsafe, or is this, you know, connection not feeling right?
So for people that have more secure tendencies, they've had that consistent bond. Again, not perfection. This is not that. This is just about enough consistency, enough warmth, enough connection and attunement as a child. That person is going to be more trusting in relationships, more vocal about their needs, more direct in their communication, and also just really clear to who they're relating with about creating agreements that are going to protect the relationship. And the biggest distinction that I really want to land on this podcast, the difference between the secure attachment versus the other three, which are also the more insecure styles, is that there is a tendency to hold both my experience and another person's experience in relating to them. So it's not just me, my fears, my wants, my needs, my boundaries. This is the biggest, like, I really, like, I'm getting goosebumps right now, because this is something that's like, if you could take anything from this podcast, this is it. With the other attachment styles, so for people that have more...
I want to clarify that, because I love that. I just don't want it to miss for anyone. So you're saying, and I don't want it to miss for me. So you're saying in secure attachment, we are able to hold our experience and another's at the same time. And because we're doing that, that's interesting. So in doing that, we are actually observing the relationship as a sort of separate entity, as opposed to just my own myopic, sort of narcissistic view. And I use that word really loosely there.
Yes.
But
yes,
that sort of myopic first person view, as soon as we go to that second and third person, we now have space for their experience, mine, and I'm able to see how mine and their experience interacts. Is that fair?
Beautiful. Yes. And the other thing that I want to say, in addition to everything that you said, is that there's this element of teamwork, just this we. It's not just me, it's we. I care about myself. I care about your experience. I'm not just leaning into conversations to just take care of myself. I'm in it to also take care of you. That's huge.
So it would be nice if there was like a, you know, a botanical you could take. It's the secure attachment botanical. But it is this, you know, listening to this podcast is going to increase trust in ourselves. It's going to increase awareness. So if you're listening, you're already doing it. And how might they continue or transition based on what they're hearing about how they show up today? And I know you can't solve all the things, but what are just some top level pieces that you have for us?
Well, the good news, I definitely have some things I can share. So it's not a botanical, but there's definitely some things. And, you know, I'm looking in my backyard. Let me see if I can find some nice herb that I can bring for this. You know, this is a really big piece of it, the education piece, right? This, It's increasing your self-awareness. So that's the first piece, the increasing of our self-awareness, the increasing of other awareness of the, you know, how you're starting to notice, like, what are the patterns within your friend's dynamic, within your partner's dynamic, within people you might be dating. And then being willing to, you know, through that awareness, practice some different behaviors, or at least acknowledging and taking ownership for behaviors that can be hurtful to people that you're close to, you know, taking responsibility when you are intrusive, you know, acknowledging that, you know, I was trying to connect with you yesterday and I realized that I approached you in a way that probably made you feel shut down. I mean, I do it. I still do that all the time. I mean, it doesn't go away.
I still do that too.
Right? Yeah. Like, I want to just own that. Like, secure functioning relationships is not about this perfect end goal where you don't mess up. You mess up, but you acknowledge it more quickly and you have awareness that you're messing up rather than letting it spiral out of control. So I think that's a huge piece, is taking that awareness and bringing it so that we're taking ownership of the hurtful patterns and then being more aware of ourselves and the other person. So this is something I practice a lot now when I'm vetting friends, in particular with new friendships, because I'm in a romantic relationship, but I'm still in a stage of my life where I'm seeking closer relationships for friends. And one of the things I'm always paying attention to is whether or not someone can meet me back. So I do my best to acknowledge, you know, what I'm bringing to the table, what my needs are, what my challenges are, what my struggles are, and also paying attention to the languaging on the other side. Are they acknowledging of my needs? Are they acknowledging of, you know, things that they might be struggling with? Is there like a reciprocity happening in the way that we meet each other? And if it's not, you know, we can bring it up. You know, for example, let's say I'm being really vulnerable and I'm noticing the other person is not meeting me. I could share that. You know, I've been noticing that I've really been trying to be more open and honest about some vulnerable things with you lately because I want our relationship to be close. I would love if you'd be willing to share some things, like some of your inner process with me sometimes. So it's not about just cutting it off. No, invite the person. What is missing? Is there openness to engage in a more reciprocal way for what is missing? Is there a potential of creating a we dynamic? Or is this person just really fixated on themselves, their own needs, their own desires, and they're not really able to really incorporate this we dynamic? And I say that can be created with some people and not everyone, but it's something that I don't just say automatically walk away from. It's being assertive, you know, being direct, being really clear about what your needs are, what your desires are, so that you can assess in a more authentic way if it's possible, rather than just, you know, leaving as soon as something is not being met, because that's just not reality. We all need to learn how to be better partners and friends. And, you know, so it's, those are the core things that I'm talking about with my clients, to really support them to take that self-awareness and other awareness and invite the relationship into more of a fulfilling and reciprocal place.
I'm curious, where are you stuck in love, in your relationships, in your life, and even just in your life, right? Because, you know, maybe you're constantly attracting the wrong partners, unavailable people, or you're healing from heartbreak and you don't know how to move forward. Maybe you're in a relationship, but it's plateaued and you're wondering, is this it? And how do I move beyond this? Whatever your situation is, I created something to help you get clarity fast. It's a free quiz called Where Are You Stuck in Love? This quiz will show you whether your next step is working on self-love, healing your past, learning to date with intention, or deepening your current relationship. The truth is, we can't change what we don't see. This quiz helps you pinpoint exactly what is keeping you from the love you want and gives you clear, guided advice on what to do next. Over 2,000 people have already taken it and had a major aha moment. You're next. Go to createthelove.com/quiz right now. That's createthelove.com/quiz, and let's get you unstuck. That's a wrap for this episode of the Create the Love podcast. Make sure you hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any future episodes. And remember, great relationships don't just happen. We create them.